Text 16 on page 714. Tatraivam sati kartaram atmanam kevalam tuyaha pashyati akrita abhutpan na sa pashyati durmatihe. Therefore, one who thinks himself the only doer, not considering the five factors, is certainly not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are. Text 17. Yasya naham krito bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyate atvapi sa ima allokan nahanti na nibadyate. One who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men in this world, does not kill, nor is he bound by such actions. So here in these two verses, the Lord says that, you know, the doer is not just yourself. The doer is actually the five factors. And again, we were talking, for those who are on phone, probably they might have missed it. It is that we were talking about the fact that who is culpable or who is to be blamed when there is something wrong. And that is, Krishna is not responsible, even though he is one of the motivating factors of the action. He is not responsible to the extent one is not surrendered onto him. Because the more one is surrendered, the more Krishna takes charge of the activities of the devotee, to the point Srila Prabhupada writes that those who are pure devotees, Krishna takes 100% charge of their activities. All the activities for them are motivated by Krishna directly and not anything else. But for those who are not completely surrendered to Krishna, to the degree they are surrendered, to that degree Krishna takes charge. Ye yatha mam prapadyante. And those who are completely atheistic, who have no faith absolutely whatsoever, Krishna just becomes the witness, neutral witness. He doesn't get involved at all. So, those are the gradations. And in the text 17, Krishna directly addresses Arjuna, that one who kills, please understand that initially you were saying in the first chapter that, you know, if I kill, I'll go to hell, or, you know, I don't want to enjoy. You are thinking in my consciousness or ahankara consciousness. But actually, I have decided to kill these people, as I have shown in the 11th chapter. You are just an instrument. So even if you kill millions of people on this battlefield, you are not bound by the reactions of your work. So you'll never go to hell. This is very addressed directly in to Arjuna. And also it is seen that the modern day also, extremely crude example, but even if the soldier kills an enemy on the battlefield, then he is not culpable for that activity unless it is not in the proper chain of command. Yeah. Not a good, very crude example though, because the soldiers and the commanders and the president who send everybody into battlefield, everybody is acting on the platform of false ego under this thing that this is my nation and I have to protect it and I have to fight, I have to send soldiers. It's still on the platform of false ego. It's not the best of the examples, but a somewhat crude example. Text 18. Jnanam jnayam parijnata trivida karma chodana karanam karma karteti trivida karma sangraha. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower are the three factors that motivate action. The senses, the work and the doer are the three constituents of action. This is what you are trying to refer to, or
yeah,
right?
So
yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. So, okay. There are three things which motivate action, and three things which are constituents, or which are the part and parcel of that actions. So, knowledge, object of knowledge, and the knower are the three factors. And the senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that thinking, feeling, and willing, these are happening because of, they are motivating factors. When you hear of something, then your mind actually generates the desire to act. And the other three are actually the work that actually carry out. Because it is said in many places that one mentally plans in the mind and actually doesn't perform. And then when a plan is actually executed, then the senses or the constituents of work come into place. Text 19. Jnanam karma cha karta cha tridaiva guna vedataha prochyate guna sankhyane yatava chrunutanyapi. According to the three different kinds, according to the three different modes of material nature, there are three kinds of knowledge, action and performer of action. Now hear them of me. So Krishna describes here that there are three kinds of knowledge, which is jnana, and then action is karma, and performer of the action, which is karta. So again, so there are, we'll have exactly 9 verses, 3 into 3. Under three different modes, 3 into 3, 9 verses. The first 3 verses deal with knowledge under the three modes of material nature. Text 20. Sarva bhuteshu yenaikam bhavam avyayam ikshate avibhaktam vibhakteshu tad jnanam vidhi sattvikam. That knowledge by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all living entities, though they are divided into innumerable forms, you should understand to be in the mode of goodness. Text 21. Pritak venatu yajnanam nana bhavan pritak vidan veti sarveshu bhuteshu tad jnanam vidhi rajasam. That knowledge by which one sees that in every different body there is a different type of living entity, you should understand to be in the mode of passion. Text 22, 718, on page 718. Yattu Krishna vadekasmin karye shaktam ahaitukim atatvartha vadalpamcha tattamasam udahritam. And that knowledge by which one is attached to one kind of work as all in all, without knowledge of truth, and which is very meager, is said to be in the mode of darkness. So clearly, Krishna says that in the mode of goodness, there is spiritual, at least some amount of spiritual touch, that there is knowledge of soul, and one sees that everybody is inhabiting, that same spiritual nature is inhabiting in all the bodies, though there are many kinds of bodies. But in the mode of passion, there is no concept of soul. They think that this lump or this living forms we see around, they are just lump of matter. And when they die, that's it. There is end to that. There is no more, nothing beyond that. So that is knowledge, that kind of knowledge is in the mode of passion. And those, Srila Prabhupada writes for the ignorance, is that those who are just living for basic sense gratification, working very hard, getting some knowledge, working very hard, satisfying the senses, and that's life, that's all in all, is just in the mode of ignorance. Krishna says that's very meager, that's not much at all. So if put in the modern perspective, those who are really proud of, you know, whatever little material education they have got, and then they are somehow, you know, able to gratify their senses, their knowledge according to Krishna is not much at all. Though they may be decorated with so many academic degrees and advanced prizes, and spiritual perspective, meager, very meager. Because Krishna says in the Gita that, you know, evam pravartitam chakram, third chapter, he says, evam pravartitam chakram nanuvarta yatiyaha aghayur indriya rama mogam partha sajivati. He says that those who do not follow this cycle of Vedas set by me, whose life is just exclusively dedicated to sense gratification, O son of Pritha, they just live in vain. Their life hasn't had any tangible spiritual gain to take it into the next life. It's just this life. And Srila Prabhupada writes that such existence is very risky, because one do not know what sort of body one is going to get next, and what sort of, you know, just like, if one works, one just completely, unrestrictedly blows money away. Just uses up all the money, lives beyond the means. And when the old age comes and they cannot work, they are going to suffer like anything, because there is no thought of future. So similarly, those who are in the platform of sense gratification, they just think that this life is the life, and somehow or other, get the maximum money, enjoy the life to max. But they don't have any sort of future idea of bondage. And Krishna does mention that in the next few verses. Questions? Okay. So the next 3 verses, they describe what is karma. Text 23. This is on page 719. Niyatam sangarahitam raga dveshata kritam afala prepsuna karma yat sattvikam uchyate. That action which is regulated, which is performed without attachment, without love or hatred, and without desire for fruitive results, is said to be in the mode of goodness. Text 24. Yattu kamepsuna karma sahankara sahankarena vapunaha kriyate bahulayasam tad rajasamudahritam. But action performed with great effort by one seeking to gratify his desires and enacted from a sense of false ego is called action in the mode of passion. Text 25. Anubandham kshayam himsam anapeksha cha paurusham mohad arabhyate karma yatat tamasam uchyate. That action performed in illusion, in disregard of spiritual injunctions and without concern for future bondage or for violence or distress caused to others is said to be in the mode of ignorance. So the different kinds of work is given here. And the common theme, actually we see from the 17th chapter, is that you cannot be attached, don't be too much to be attached to the results of your work. Though there is an underlying theme for that particular mode of goodness, it is but a component of bhakti yoga. And here also Krishna says, again, don't be attached to the fruits of your results. And if you do that in an unattached way, then you are in, then that work is done in the mode of goodness. But if you perform work with like out of false ego, and then you have put in so much of effort, you know, so much of really hard effort, and I desire a lot of wealth back, then that sort of activity is in the mode of passion. And those here in the mode of illusion, the work is started in ignorance. It mohat arabhyate karma, that you are completely under illusion, and you start the work based in illusion. And then you don't really care for any sort of concern for scriptural injunctions. You really don't care about future bondage. You really don't care about violence. I mean, one perfect example I can think of is those who start this business of slaughterhouses. All these three things, they fit. They don't care about scriptural injunctions, which say that one should not kill animals. They are not concerned about the future bondage because their life is going to be pretty not so good in future when they take different births because the law of karma is going to come back. Just imagine if you kill an animal and the animal has to come back, a man working in the slaughterhouse killing animals for 10 years must be killing thousands if not millions of animals. And how much birth one has to take to kind of get that rid of cycle of karma. And then violence to others. This is, the animals are being subject to such cruel violence. It's a perfect example of something in the mode of illusion, ignorance, slaughterhouses. Yes, Ravanand Sagaprabhu.
Sorry, Prabhuji, in that situation, when someone is killing animals in a slaughterhouse, everyone who is involved, who is connected to that killing process gets the sin, that's what I heard.
Yes.
But who gets the most sin? The person who is running the business or the person who is killing the animal?
Equally.
Equally.
It is said that in the animal slaughter, there are six people involved, not just one. Can anybody name the six?
Try to enumerate. Like one who gives the permission, one who does it, one who ship it out and sell it, one who takes it or eats it.
The one who serves it.
Nice. So one who kills, one who sells, one who cooks,
transport.
One who serves, one who eats,
permission. One who permits.
One who permits. Everybody is involved. So equally involved. So if you want to be the president of the United States, consider this attached to that. It's in the modern setup, it's hard to kind of pin because the government is not run by just one person.
You said also the person who writes the program to run that slaughterhouse.
One point.
How about,
How about the person who is buying other items from the store?
But I apologize. It's not permission. One who kills, one who sells, one who buys, one who cooks, one who serves, one who eats. One who kills is like, if basically the permission, it involves permission, because you should remember that Maharaj Parikshit, when the Shudra was about to beat the bull, he was like taking a severe stand against him. So in the modern age, if you are killing legally, means you are, that government is directly involved. There is no doubt about that. It's inbuilt into that one who kills.
So Prabhuji, how about the person who is buying other stuff in that store, but because of the profit he is getting from those non-meat items, he is able to supply meat. So like, for example, I buy a lot of stuff from Costco, but I am not buying meat. But with the profit he is getting from the other stuff which I am buying, he is able to sell and get meat.
Well, as long as you are offering food to Krishna and you are, that particular item is not contaminated, what can be done? It's there is, especially in the modern age, there is always some fault. So.
This question is not about the item that is purchasing, but the question is about the money he gets, the store gets. They use it to further increase the business of non-veg or and all those things.
Well, they are in. They get the karma. I mean,
that means we also get karma because we are buying stuff there and we are indirectly encouraging.
No, because you are using that food stuff. We offer it to Krishna.
No, we buy non-food stuff.
Okay.
But they have the choice to use the money
in whatever they want.
Yeah. So choice is left to them, not to us.
Yeah.
No, but not only us. Like there are many others also buying who may not be devotees. So they also get some karma.
Practically, where can we find a store?
Rakshit Prabhu, and
yeah,
then
one consideration whether it comes in this discussion is we are asking whether one is guilty by association. One went to the store and bought a non-meat product and didn't really pay much attention to the meat aspect. And is he also in the wrong? And there was the other example given, somebody who is transporting but may not know what's in the package, but he's transporting. So it's quite possible because, you know, these things can just be wrapped up and one may not know. Sometimes the driver may not even open the back of the truck. So the thing is that whether the consideration of intent would come in here, whether one has an intent or an intention to, for instance, promote or support or endorse a meat-related activity. And, you know, these days they have these types of what are called, even in investments, they have certain social type of companies and certain other companies that are not so. And they have made it possible for these people who are very aware that such a company is engaging in certain activities which are not promoting a healthy living, if you will, can boycott them or not invest in them and are given the choice to invest in those socially friendly firms, if you will. So then there is that part of disclosure and intent. It's like, once you know, you have knowledge, then you can choose. So if I was going to the store and I realized that I would be promoting the meat eating, then I can say, look, I don't have to buy from that store. And so whether the consideration of intent would come in here.
Nice. Thank you. Very nice point. The only other point I had also was that Ramananda Sakaprabhu said that what about those who are non-devotees who buy stuff? The point one should understand is that this karma is very subtle, and how it acts and how it kind of fructifies and all that, it's not very easy to trace out because there are so many subtle nuances that go into it. But those who are not devotees, anyway, they buy stuff and they want for their own enjoyment, in that sense they are still bound by their own work, fruitive work. So, yes.
More question. Rakshit Prabhu brought up another another item to the list that makes it very, very complicated.
Okay.
Which is the investments. Let's say you are buying some mutual funds, some investment, and we don't know where they invest that money. They may invest, they don't care about all those things. They might invest in some slaughterhouse or some cigarette companies, which are in the gambling companies, and we have no idea. And it's also not practical to go through all those fine elements to find out. That is one thing. The second thing is, even if you don't invest in mutual funds, you put it in bank, that bank may be giving loans to those companies which are against all these things. So this thing never ends.
That's true. And Srila Prabhupada also, he used to invest ISKCON's money in certificates of deposits in bank, to not in a very high speculative thing, risk or gambling, not gambling exactly, but high risk, high return kind of situations where he used to invest in certificate of deposits in bank. So I think Srila Prabhupada, if he thought that's okay, then I think we are okay. Because one should understand that even if through your own intelligence you may invest anywhere, if your destiny is to get back, you will get it back. Edrichaya lava santushto. So whatever you get, think it as the fruit of Krishna. And just because otherwise in this modern society, it's practically impossible even to exist if one goes too deep into like this thinking. Our faith is that sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo. The word Krishna says that just surrender on to me. You know, don't try to figure out this stuff. Just simple faith. Have some faith and surrender on to me. I will protect you from all this. Ultimately, that's the only bottom line we have, basically. Because even using extensive intelligence and computers and supercomputers and calculations and this and that, you still can't figure out. It's impossible. Because I remember I was reading in the newspaper some few days ago, is that a man calculated what is the source, or where did the mortgage loan go, with whom the mortgage loan is now. Because previously the bank would own the loan, the bank would kind of sell the loan to somebody, and that would sell to somebody, that would sell to somebody, that would sell to a mutual fund, to the Freddie, May, Fannie Mac, whatever. And the man did the calculation, and he found that this loan was like a serpentine going here and there and there. Some 20 or 30 places he had to trace before he could see where the loan was originated and who owns the loan now. So the point is that, let's forget it, just depend on Krishna. Masucha. Happy. Yes, Shraddha Mataji. No, please, go for it.
I was going to say that you, like Ramananda Sakha Prabhu said, that it's endless.
Right.
I mean, if you're so cautious about not killing, I mean, we walk on the floor and we kill so many ants and we breathe and so many insects go
right.
So we have the Chaturmasya to take care of all that.
Right.
Which is difficult.
True. Yes, Sri Babu. Okay, I'm sorry, I need a clarification. Is your name Sri Babu or Sri Babu?
Sri Babu.
Sri Babu. Okay, got it. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Babu.
Hare Krishna.
So for these questions, how can we refer the, how can we see through the verse 18? Is there some, do we find some answers for...
18?
Yeah, just now we have passed through.
Yeah.
So Prabhupada explains here there is some impetus.
Okay.
In the explanation.
Right.
So that is, that inspiration why the investment is happening or why you are going and shopping, I mean buying. So that has any relevance or any relevance?
Well, there is always a relevance because a human being or the jiva soul is curious to know, you know, what's happening. And but the point is that end result may not always be found. And to exert one's mental energy so much in that direction, forgetting or sidetracking our spiritual life is not advisable. That's the point. Sure, we can investigate if you have the free time or things like that, but you know, it's just like it's going to be endless. And the problem is that, you know, there is going to be so much of dissatisfaction and, you know, fear that's going to come in. Oh man, this world, you know, this is like everything is so cynical, and everything is, at least in the modern Kali Yuga, I'll come to you, So it's better, we do. We can go into it, but to the extent we can go, otherwise let it go. Yes.
Yes, I was about to say, even if we wanted to go and even if we had the ability, we don't have a memory beyond this this one life.
True.
So we'll be still limited in that endeavor.
Fine point. Very nice
and
point.
Practically speaking, there is probably no store in the USA that doesn't sell meat or meat-related products. These days you are getting, like soon you'll be making genetically modified tomatoes that have genes of fish.
You're right. That's true. That's true.
So it's going to be much more complicated if we try to do
that. That is true, yeah. Because Srila Prabhupada, when he came to West, and the devotees told him that, you know, vitamin D3 means fish oil, and then can we offer it to the deities? He said, we'll just offer it to the deities. Now it's nowadays it's not there because it doesn't have come from fish oil. Vitamin D3 is from the hair of the sheep. So, lanolin, yes, right.
Lanolin,
yeah. Vitamin D3, they also say lanolin, you are, yeah.
It's the same strain that you get from sunshine, the same type of vitamin.
If you don't have enough sunshine in your body,
yeah, then you go for D3.
Yes, yes. We take
the. Yeah, oil. Yeah, yeah. Shall we? Okay, we have 8 minutes and we have 11 verses. All right. All right. Where are we? Okay, text 26. Mukta sango naham vadi driti utsaha samanvitaha siddhi asiddhyor nirvikaraha karta sattvika uchyate. One who performs his duty without association with modes of material nature, without false ego, with great determination and enthusiasm, and without wavering in success or failure, is said to be a worker in the mode of goodness. Text 27. Ragi karma phala prepsur lubdo himsatma kosuchihi harsha shokanvita karta rajasa parikirtitaha. The worker who is attached to the work and the fruits of work, desiring to enjoy those fruits, and who is always greedy, always envious, impure, and moved by joy and sorrow, is said to be in the mode of passion. Text 28. Ayuktaha prakritaha stabda shato naishkritiko lasaha vishadi dirga sutricha karta tamasa uchyate. The worker who is always engaged in work against the injunctions of scriptures, who is materialistic, obstinate, cheating, and expert in insulting others, and who is lazy, always morose, and procrastinating, is said to be worker in the mode of ignorance. So these are the three kinds of karta, or workers. Text 29. Next we go is intelligence. Buddher bedam drites chaiva gunatas trividam srunuhu prochyamanam aseshena pritakvena dhananjaya. O winner of wealth, now please understand as I tell you in detail of all of the different kinds of understanding and determination according to the three modes of material nature. Text 30. Pravrittim cha nivrittim cha karya karye bhaya bhaye bandham moksham chayaveti buddhi saparta sattviki. O son of Pritha, that understanding by which one knows what is to be done, what ought to be done, and what ought not to be done, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared, what is binding and what is liberating, is in the mode of goodness. Text 31. Yaya dharmam adharmam cha karyam cha karyam eva cha ayatavat prajanati buddhi sa partha rajasihi. O son of Pritha, that understanding which cannot distinguish between religion and irreligion, between action that should be done and action that should not be done, is in the mode of passion. Text 32. Adharmam dharmam itiya manyate tamasavrita sarvathan vipari tamscha buddhi sa partha tamasi. That understanding which considers irreligion to be religion and religion to be irreligion under the spell of illusion and darkness and strives always in the wrong direction, O Partha, is in the mode of ignorance. So, from the mode of goodness, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared. For the devotees, there are few things that are to be feared. Otherwise, the few things that are to be feared are that the material nature is very strong and one cannot be very complacent in service of Krishna, because one can always be enveloped by this material nature again and completely forget Krishna. So one fear is always forgetfulness of Krishna. The second thing is one always fears Vaishnava Aparadha or committing offenses against Vaishnava, because it is there in Srimad Bhagavatam also. Maharaj Rahuguna says that I am not worried about going to hell, nor am I worried about the Trishul or the trident of Shiva, nor am I worried about being punished by Yamraj, as much as I am worried about insulting or offending a Vaishnava or a Brahmana. So there are a few things that one has to be fearful about. But otherwise, one need not be fearful about one's existence, because that is automatically taken care of Krishna. Then what is to be done and what is not ought to be done is usually lined up in terms of scriptural injunctions. And what is binding and what is liberating, again Krishna gives the knowledge from within. And through the knowledge of Shastras, one can understand what is binding and what is liberating. But in the mode of passion, that fine intelligence is kind of blurred. What is done, what is not done, is like, I don't know, this is done, this can be done, this can be done too. This can be eaten, this cannot be eaten too. It's okay. Why? Just get into it. You know, whatever your mind says, because it's driven by mode of passion, just do it, that's fine. And in the mode of ignorance, exactly it's opposite. Oh, irreligion seems to be religion. That is like the ultimate religion. And what is religion seems to be irreligion. So for those in the mode of ignorance, you know, Hare Krishnas are like completely irreligious people. Because what is true religion is seem to be irreligion for them.
Is it like the communists or what?
I don't know. Yeah, that one thought also came to my mind, is that, you know, the in the name of religion, people are acting irreligiously. Killing or slaughtering in the name of religion is not a sign of true religion either. What are the... Yes, Rakshit Prabhu had a...
Yeah, and religion and irreligion, one may ask what is being referred to here. Because I saw in some of the verses, like verse 30, purport to the verse 30, talks about scripture as to whether the reference to religion is dharma as advocated in the scripture. Because scripture, as we would understand, is the original word of God, if you will, that has been passed down from disciplic succession. So if it is not the word of God, is it religion? Irreligion could be non-scriptural. This is one point comment I wanted to make. The other is, talking about scripture and looking at the purport to verse 30, where it talks about this understanding from the mode of goodness, where is it coming from? And it gives due credence to scripture. It again says comes from scripture. But then I heard you also say that in intelligence from within that Krishna is giving, that can also play a role. So how is an individual, for instance, going to be able to discriminate, as it says here, to be what is to be feared and what is not to be feared? An individual is able to, as such, discriminate. How is that happening? Is it scripture alone, or is there also some internal intelligence that is coming into play that is allowing the person to make that decision? And if there is that internal intelligence that's coming into play that Krishna is giving the individual, then that seems to be quite significant, because it would say that one would need that intelligence from Krishna to be correctly able to discriminate, aside from scripture. Just a point.
Nice point. The only thing I want to add to that is that in case one doesn't have or one feels that I do not have the intelligence to discriminate. And for those unfortunate souls where Krishna doesn't directly give the direction, there is always your spiritual master or the other senior devotees to refer to help you out to discriminate, you know, what is good or what is not good for you, kind of thing, in terms of merely purely from spiritual advancement perspective.
So that's where the Guru Sadhu Shastra principle would come in.
Come in, yes, absolutely. Thank you. Yes,
Prasad. So the religion and irreligion. So the frame of reference here is the dharma, right? But there is a conflict in the reference itself, because for some people their dharma is to eat meat, which is offered to God, but for some it is not. So how do you reconcile? If for some people it is religious and for some people it is religious, and both of them claim that it is their dharma.
Well, the Vedas also allow meat, eating of meat, animal sacrifices. But it is done very strictly in terms of, you know, there are like certain rules which you do to perform the activities to eat meat. Now, indiscriminately eating meat is not sanctioned in any religion. And if they think that is their dharma, that is what they have mentally concocted. That is again, you know, what is irreligion is my religion. That's in the mode of ignorance, Krishna says. Because no religion completely allows indiscriminate slaughter of animals. And Vedic literatures allow the slaughter, but very, very like restricted. You know, you have to kill an animal on this day with these rules, with these regulations. Then you can have the animal in sacrifice, eat it. So many things. The whole goal was to kind of raise them from that particular position. You know, you get the whole package before you understand. When you sign a non-disclosure, whatever agreement, you need to know, okay, what am I getting into? So that's the whole version of Vedas. You know, okay, you are eating meat, this is what you are getting into. And these are the problems. You still want to eat? Not sure. But if it is in a very indiscriminate fashion, you just have no application of principles. So that is just, you know, it can be anything. You can do anything irreligious. You can say, that's my religion. And Krishna says, you are in the mode of ignorance. More often than not, if you are in the mode of ignorance, you are, tend to do these things and support them. So, does that answer your question a little bit? Okay, thank you.
I have some small points here to add. So dharma, like we hear, dharma is actually, religion may not be the just exact word for dharma, because dharma is like constitution, version for the living entity, and seva supra dharma yato bhakti yadokshya. So it's like what stand one is taking in his life, or which direction is going, maybe dharma. So one can try to relativitize it, like my dharma is this and other dharma is this. But that is not actually the technical dharma the Veda is talking about. It's like the constant position is to be eternal servant of Krishna. If one.
Nice, thank you, Bart. Thank you, very nice point. Okay, we'll wrap it up in next 5 minutes. Text 33. धृत्या यया धारयते मन प्राणेन्द्रिया क्रियः योगेन व्यविचारिण्या धृति स पार्थ सात्विकी. O son of Pritha, that determination which is unbreakable, which is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice, and which thus controls the activities of mind, life and senses, is determination in the mode of goodness. Text 34. Yayatu dharma kamartam dhritya dharayate arjuna prasangena phalakankshi dhriti saparta rajasi. But that determination by which one holds fast to fruitive results in religion, economic development and sense gratification is of the nature of passion, O Arjuna. Text 35. Yaya swapnam bhayam shokam vishadam madam evacha na vimuchanti dhurmeda dhriti sa partha tamasi. And that determination which cannot go beyond dreaming, fearfulness, lamentation, moroseness and illusion, such unintelligent determination, O son of Pritha, is in the mode of darkness. Text 36, 37, 38 and 39, and then that will be for today. Next, Krishna talks about happiness. Sukham tu idanim trividam shrunume bharatarshaba abhyasa dramate yatra dukkhantam chanigachati. O best of the Bharatas, now please hear from me about three kinds of happiness by which the conditioned soul enjoys and by which he sometimes comes to the end of all distress. Text 37. Yattadagre visham iva pariname amrutopamam tat sukham sattvikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. That which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. Text 38. Vishendriya samyogad yat tad agre amrutopamam pariname vishamiva tatsukam rajasamspratam. That happiness which is derived from the contact of senses with their objects, and which appears like nectar at first, but poison at the end, is said to be the nature of passion. Text 39. Yad agre chanubande cha sukham moham mohanam atmanaha nidralasya pramodattam tattamasam udahritam. And that happiness which is blind to self-realization, which is delusion from the beginning to end, and which arises from sleep, laziness and illusion, is said to be the nature of ignorance. So Krishna here gives again the different kinds of aspects of activities in terms of modes of material nature. And till 40, verse 40, we get again Krishna till the modes of material nature. Then Krishna touches briefly on jnana, then dhyana, and then he goes on to super soul, then most confidential knowledge. So this is the summary which is given. Next week we'll have the last class, then we'll cover the remaining verses, and then after that revision sessions is up to the devotees. If you want to have revision sessions, we will, or if that is not possible, then.
I had a question. Now that we would be completing the Bhagavad Gita, is there a separate certificate for Bhagavad Gita in Bhakti Shastri? Or is it just one certificate all in all?
It's just one certificate, Prabhu. It's just the Bhakti Shastri certificate, because that's the course, according to the ISKCON Education Ministry, that is the course.
So Bhakti Shastri plus Nectar of Devotion?
Yes. No, Bhakti Shastri includes Nectar of Devotion.
Sorry, Bhagavad Gita plus Nectar of Devotion.
Correct. Isopanishad, Nectar of Instruction, Bhagavad Gita and other Bhakti Shastri components.
And our certificate will come from that council, or how would that be?
I think we can, the local local temple can actually print and give it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I do not have the 100% details right now.
So okay, all right.
I'll let you know. So, yes, Sugeshwari Mataji.
Prabhuji, I was just wondering that if we can have a... we've just started studying for the exam, so I was wondering that if we can do two to three chapters one time and revision, and any questions we have, we can... Or at least divide into two parts, that is the first. So we have from 10 to 18 now. So
we can have like 10 to 15 and then...
Then four more.
Yeah, we can do
so
that.
So because like when we go through and then we might have some questions. And
yeah, we can do that. So we'll have it in the temple, or should we have it in the email format where we can send it to the group, or how... Which is easier?
Well, the temple possibility is there.
Yeah, I was thinking temple maybe better.
It would be a matter of coordinating it.
For example, in the setting of a Sunday program or so, between you're talking of between now and. Okay, so that possibility is there in that you could either keep it as an early class as we are having it, or overlap it with a Sunday feast program. Could be a week when Vaisheshika Prabhu is not here with his consent. It can be done here at the temple. This is one suggestion, but I had a question about it, and that is, are we talking about revision on chapters where we started this third semester, which is chapter what?
10.
10. So from 10 to 18. So it's a question of 10 to 18.
Is it like a more formal session you want, where the devotee is present on chapters, or is it just question and answers? I think for preparing and all that is...
Whatever everybody prefers. It's just a point of when we're going through the shlokas and the purports, especially me, because I don't study it before, just for exam's sake I do. Then I have a lot of questions in my mind. So
we can have a question and answers.
I was just going to have a question and answer and have it online, like on the phone only. Because trying to come here and set up a class becomes a little bit difficult for me to do it every Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, not every Sunday. I was just thinking only once. Like
we have only two Sundays between the time we have the class.
And we have four weeks, right, Mataji?
Fourth week will be the exam.
Next Sunday we have only.
And then, and how much justice can we do in one Sunday to eight classes? So instead of that, I was saying just go on the phone. We can use technology. If you want to share PowerPoints, we can use some of the free web conferencing software. And then be at your home, be wherever you are, and then participate from there.
We can do
that. And then do it several times. Do it all the 3 weeks that way, you know. You can cover three chapters this week, three chapters next week. That way.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
Yeah, that way I was saying.
Three chapters, so we give ourselves...
We'll rush. Yeah, we'll all rush through. We'll all rush through in one day. Nine chapters will be difficult.
And we can kick it off probably next week when we meet here. We can complete the chapter in early 18th chapter and then... No, that's okay. I think that's fine. What's that?
That won't happen because we'll keep on asking you questions.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that can be also done. We can do that. So, it'll be more of a formal presentation or just question and answers. So, again, we need to quickly go over the chapters, each of the three chapters, and then we can take the questions.
Yeah, that would be nice, Prabhu. Every week we do three of the chapters. So, in 3 weeks, we are done with nine chapters. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
Going to a website or is it on a conference call?
The choices are, it's like you can just be audio, like you just ask questions and somebody gives us somebody and ask questions. If you want to share PowerPoint presentations, then you can go to the web also. Then you need to be sitting close to a computer to do that. Yeah.
So essentially, if it's audio, then it would be like a conference call or so.
Like this, like the one that we're having right now. Yeah.
Like Vaisheshika Prabhu's reading?
Yes.
So that kind of a concept where you don't necessarily have to be in the temple.
In the temple.
Right.
And it can be organized on any day.
Yeah.
It can be organized on a weekday also or a Saturday. Because three sessions, as Mataji pointed out, we have the next class which is on the 8th. Then there is 8 plus 7 is 15. 15 plus 7 is 22. We have three weekends in between.
Three weekends and then
the exam. Because May 31st. So we can organize three chapters for every weekend and then we can take questions. It can be just audio only. I don't think we need the fancy PowerPoint presentation and all that.
Like, if you want to do it PowerPoint, you can circulate the PowerPoints beforehand so everybody can look at their copy of PowerPoint and still be on the audio. There's so many possibilities
that
you can use.
If you have any questions, when we go over this chapter, I was not actually thinking of the PowerPoint. I was thinking more on the sense of having a question and doubt why this is,
Right.
Do you think it makes sense to send the questions beforehand so that we'll have a more structured use of that time rather than people just talking?
Right.
And also in that Q&A that you would do like a quick review or something, go through the verses?
Yeah, I mean, like it could be like a 5 minute or 7 minute presentation on that particular chapter, yeah, highlighting the various aspects of the chapter, and then we can take the questions. Yeah, we can do that, I think. But it should be on a weekend is better, obviously. And next weekend is... So it's the same 2 hours. We should have 2 hours then. Every like, at 2 p.m. every weekend after that at home, 2 to 4. Is that okay? Hour is even better. It works
What I was thinking is it's rather than going over all the thought matters, rather than going over each and every issue over again, it's more 5 to 6 minutes of what's the main point of this chapter, and anybody else have a question on what chapter,
yeah,
what shlokas they have.
That's a good idea. That's it's just for an hour.
Yeah.
And then I'm just thinking beyond, like it can even be on a Sunday in the morning. Whatever,
yeah.
I think
we
should look
that.
At whatever works.
7 o'clock at Sunday every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Every 8 o'clock or whatever after 9 o'clock.
Whatever works for majority of people.
Yeah, sure. We'll have an outlet like that. Thank you, Mataji. Do we have a number? I can get a free conference number. That's not a problem. Okay. All right. Quick announcements on the fourth semester. So, we have copies, right? Nectar of Devotion?
Yes, Nectar of Devotion.
We have 40 copies?
Yes.
So, we have 40 copies of Nectar of Devotion, and these are the latest copies. And so, they are going to be given out to all the Bhakti Shastri students. And the reason is that the previous versions, the previous editions of Nectar of Devotions, there were some errors that have been corrected in this particular version of the book. So my request is that we use that book only for our reading, because in the previous edition, we had some technical discrepancies. For example, one discrepancy was wherever it meant Ragatmika, Raganuga was used. So those side of things happened. So there is a correction in this book, so that book will be used. So everybody will get a copy, those who enroll, of course. And there is another book by Dhanudhar Maharaj called Waves of Devotion. It's highly recommended that you have a copy of that book, because that book is a very beautiful book to help explain, understand the concepts. And we may read both the books from the exam perspective. Please don't get scared, because if you are this, how many pages are there in 8 chapters? Nine chapters. 450, something like that. Because the average number of pages in the Gita is about 1,000. So you take in a ballpark 500 pages for each of the 9 chapters. But for the first phase or the first part of Nectar of Devotion, it's 143 pages overall, completely. 19 chapters are covered in 143 pages. And so we'll have another 100 pages from Waves of Devotion. So even if you read from both the books, it's going to be about 250 pages max. It's not that much.
Can we have a bulk order for the second?
That's what. Please don't order it at this point of time. I'll see what we can do about it. And then based on that, we'll see if we can have a bulk order. But Nectar of Devotion is completely complimentary. I mean, it's free. That we'll see what can be done. The other factor or the other consideration, it's an important consideration, is that the devotees need to register for the fourth semester. Either in the form, I think we'll create a poll wherein you just go and say, yes, I'm willing to take. Anybody who's not registering again, so their names won't be included moving forward. So it's just a little inconvenience, but The reason is that we have had so many participants, but there has not been much kind of response. So we really want to know who are really wanting to join versus who just want to join for the sake of joining and not do anything about it, not follow the course, not give the homework, not come to the classes, nothing at all. So there are a few devotees like that, and we just want to make sure that everybody is like really wanting to do it rather than if you are not registering for the fourth semester, then the name might not be there. I'm sorry, that's so the inconvenience caused. But the other option is, Shraddha Mataji, do you think people can just send an email to you saying that, one line? Or we can make a poll. Poll is more, I agree. We'll create a poll. We'll just create a poll. Just one line saying yes or no, that's it. I want to participate, yes, no, that's it. So the fourth semester is Nectar of Devotion. It's the magnum opus, and it's the life of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. It's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's the number of verses in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is 2,239 verses, covering the four portions, so the four directions. That is the eastern, western, eastern, southern, western, and northern directions. In this way it goes. But for the Bhakti Shastri course, we just do the eastern portion, that's all. And eastern portions are 19 chapters, first 19 chapters of Nectar of Devotion.
So a question, is going to run from when to when, the fourth semester?
I don't have an exact date.
But is it going to be beyond December? That is going.
No, impossible.
Yeah, up to December or so.
We are looking at like September, October time frame.
Oh, I see.
Even earlier, if we can. The format and all that, we haven't kind of decided how to do it. I mean, I'm willing to open for the ideas. We can have, we can read and we can have discussion here, or we can have like a lot of classes in the temple, and you can do reading here in the temple instead of reading at home and discuss here. But my personal take is that we'll have classes spread out once in 2 weeks or once in 3 weeks, and then we'll cover all those chapters so that we have the chapters. And so that way, each time you don't have to come to the temple, or it's not that. That's one option. So we can experiment. There won't be no homework for the fourth semester. Should there be homework? That's the point. What's that?
No finalized
homework. No finalized. I'm sorry, I didn't get it. No final exam, no homework, no classes. No reading.
No
fee. No fee. Homework will be helpful? Okay, we'll have homework.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I would read the book if there's homework.
Okay. Okay. Oh, there's one other request. Very humble request, but I'll send out an email also. Can you calculate your own marks, how much you got for homework? So the criteria is this. If you send all the homeworks on time, then you get the full marks. Because I'm not deducting, there has never been a policy of deducting marks for homework. But it's only for the late submission. So you just need to go through your email boxes and see, this was the date. I can send you the revision again. This was the date, and these are the homeworks I submitted, and these are the marks. So you give me your own marks. Of course, I might verify once in a while, but... And I'll get really suspicious because homework is for 25 marks and you say I got 35 marks for homework, then I'm... or I got 75 marks in homework, then I'm really a little bit... It may be a little bit case of suspicion.
We also give our own exam paper to correction.
There you go.
Now we might
get each other. Not a bad... Actually, you can do that. We can have like a thesis,
No, each actually, the best thing is to correct others.
Yes.
There you go. Wonderful. That's a sure shot formula to start World War III. How come he got this? I wrote this phrase exactly. You know, how didn't I get that? He wrote that. His word, you know, he didn't put something on the Sanskrit. Then I put the thing on Sanskrit. Why didn't I?
So homework submission on time is full marks.
Full marks.
How
okay.
We
said 40% per homework. So you can see that one homework, if you submitted late, then it's going to be an interesting exercise for you. Basically, it's not that I can't do it, but this time I just wanted to kind of see how it goes. It'll be a little bit more fun. Just it'll be going back.
So if you submit the homework late, so it's 40%.
Yeah, correct. For that particular, only for that particular.
Yeah. So 40% off the full marks.
No. So.
So you deduct 40% of the full marks.
You deduct 40%.
Correct.
So you get 60%.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. No, not the full marks. For only for that homework.
Yeah, for that homework.
Right. So if. Actually, the other thing, you will see is that the reason is kind of doing it a little bit hesitation is because you'll realize that, though I submitted on time, you know, I didn't lose much marks, or I submitted very late, so it's not much. At least with the 20%, there was not much of losing. But with 40%, it'll be a little bit more. But it'll be just an interesting experience. So. The disclaimer is it may be subjected to verification. So, thank you.
I had one last question.
Yes.
Plus the book.
For the Waves of Devotion.
Oh.
The Waves of Devotion is highly recommended, and it's $20, but. We can see if we can get a bulk discount from there, and then we can. But then, based on the number of devotees who are registering, then we can get it. So,
Prabhuji, that Waves of Devotion book, everyone has to buy independently, or we plan to buy it together and then.
I'll let you know, Prabhuji.
Okay.
At this point of time, if we can get a bulk discount, then we should try for that.
Is there a DBT book?
It's available at Dhanudhar Maharaj's website, I think dhanudharswami.com, and also at Amazon. I don't think it's... not sure. I'll check from BBT. I'm not sure if it's available.
I have not seen it on their catalog.
Okay. Okay.
But you never know. They may have it.
All right.
Just next time I talk to them, I can inquire.
Okay, please. Thank you so much. So, based on... the number of devotees who are enrolled, then we can get the copies.
If it is BBT, we will get a discount because you will get a temple
property. Okay.
But if it is some other website, then you are very much at the mercy of their online price.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay.
Sometimes they have wholesale.
Right.
Where you buy a certain bulk quantity, but usually that is Bhaktivedanta Archives or some such place. I don't know if Krishna.com and other sites enter into it.
Let me see. Dhanudhar Maharaj's website also had a place where they said bulk, we'll give you some bulk discount, but we can check
how
it.
How many students we have?
Yeah, I think something like that.
Then we need to do the poll then.
Yeah, I'll probably send the poll, you know, today or tomorrow.
We need to respond.
Yeah. Yeah. You can enroll. That's okay, Mataji. You can enroll at any time.
Yeah, we
have about 35. The point is that, you know, there some are active, some are inactive, some are like dormant, some are latent, some are potent. Some are with lack of intent, so whatever you want to use. All right. Thank you so much. Anything else? Any last questions? Any comments? We'll take a break, of course, and then we'll come back.
So, Prabhuji, I have to submit something. But so, so I can submit it before the exam?
Yes.
And
did
it for me?
Yes.
Even I have one
page. Is there 1 week late? 10%?
After 1 month, it doesn't matter.
People going negative.
Yeah. Twice
For our viewers online, we are taking a short break. The usual Sunday class will start shortly.